Moscow. You are listening to KRFP 90.3 in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. And you are listening to Recovery Radio. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, and they're located at 531 South Main Street here in Moscow. And you can contact them by telephone at 208-883-1045. By email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. And you can also find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook and Twitter. And Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Radio Johnny, and I'm joined in the remote studio today with Miss Denise. Hi, Miss Denise.
Hello, Johnny, and welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, too. It's Christmas Eve, and we hope everybody is looking forward to having a great day tomorrow, and we're going to talk a little bit today about how that affects people and what you can do to stay as happy and merry as possible. But first, Denise has some announcements for some things coming up out at Real Life Church.
Yes. So as most of you know, I participate in the Celebrate Recovery there with different groups. And so I wanted to share about the ones that have been going for a while. And then also share with you ones that are going to start in January on the 7th, that Thursday. So first, we have been doing for a couple months now a class that's for newcomers. So we first have an open group where there's a lesson done and we all meet in the auditorium. And after that group, if you are a newcomer, it's the first time that you're attending, you can meet in a little class with Moni. She is the leader for this class. And Moni will explain to you about the different options as far as what groups you can join and what they're about. And she also answers any of your questions. So I encourage that just so that you understand about, you know, what the Recovery Night is about. And then, like I said, starting in January, which I want to give you the website here real quick. So if you'd like to sign up for any of the classes that I'm going to talk about, you can go to liferotp.com/restoration. And so they're going to start a class called Everyday Conflict, and it's going to be a mixed group in the auditorium, so there can be a lot of people sign up for this group. It's a video course by Peacemaker Ministries, and it teaches the basics of conflict resolution. This is an 8-week class with no homework. And the next one is the Mixed Issues. So I've shared about this, I think, before. Mixed Issues is a group where you can just come in. It's women with women, men with men. It's after the open big group where the lesson is. So it's the second half. And basically, you're just going to like verbally process. We're going to take turns, get about 5 minutes apiece. It's a safe environment where, you know, we go over group rules. What is said in there stays in there, and no one is to leave that group and talk about who was there or what was said there. You know?
Safe space.
Safe space. You don't walk up to Susie Q later and just be like, oh, so remember what you were saying in group, you know, how's that going?
Right.
It's to stay in that group unless Susie Q comes up to you and says, hey, so this is what's going on with what I shared
in
group.
Right.
So I just really want to express the importance of the confidentiality, anonymity, so that people feel safe. A lot of times people will attend this class in the beginning as they're starting in recovery so that they can, you know, verbally process the things that are going on in their life, and then other people are sharing, and you're kind of getting some ideas of what's going on or what you need to work on in your recovery. The next one is the step study, and that is the CR step study that goes for 6 months, and it again is broken up into women with women, men with men, and you're going through the 12 steps, and of course, you know, it is Christian based, so it's also off of the principles on the mount that Jesus shared. And, you know, you're starting with, you know, denial, and you're just working through each one of those. And so each week you're sharing the lesson that you did over the last week. There's questions in there for you to answer and share in your group. And I think the homework for me took anywhere between like 20 minutes to an hour to work on. And a lot of it was just like reading through the questions and thinking on it throughout the week and then writing down the answers and coming back and sharing again. And I also wanted to say that as you meet each week with these ladies, and it's a smaller group, usually it's like 10 and under, you start to really build some relationship. You know, there right. is some accountability. They can be your accountability partners, and you get to walk and share with them, and they do the same with you. So those will also be starting for women and for men on the 7th. And then next, there is a codependency group, one for men, one for women. The book costs $15, and you can order it on Amazon. And the book is called The Christian Codependency Recovery Workbook by Tucker. And this class leads you to understanding many of the facets of codependency, which is a very misunderstood concept. Even if you personally do not struggle with codependency, it can help you to understand healthy relationships. This is an 8-week commitment with about 1 to 2 hours of homework per week, and the group sizes are at the most 10. And then there's the Genesis process. This is also, you know, for men and for women, broken into separate groups. This class takes you deeper into the heart of why we continue to do the things we do not want to do. I feel like I want to read that again. So, this class takes you deeper into the heart of why we continue to do the things we do not want to do. And that's a really big area that I think we look at in recovery, and it's important too. It looks at the brain science behind the compulsive behaviors and offers tools to break the cycles in our lives. This is a 6-month commitment with about 2 hours of homework per week, and group sizes are 8 or smaller. And that book can also be ordered on Amazon, and it is the Genesis Process Book 1 and 2. And then following that, if you've taken Genesis Process, you can take Blueprint for Transformation. This class goes deeper into transformation, giving us step-by-step guidance to change any stuck areas in our life. This is a 1-year commitment with about 2 hours of homework per week, and group sizes are 6 or smaller. And for the book, it is $15, and you can order that on Amazon. And the book name is Blueprint for Transformation by Spangler. I do want to say that all these classes will be at 7 o'clock p.m. on Thursdays, except the Blueprint for Transformation will be, the men's class will be held Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. The women's will be Thursday night at 7 p.m. Yeah.
Groovy.
So again,
the classes mm-hmm. themselves are free.
Yes. Just the book.
But the workbooks you might have to buy depending yes. on the class.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And you can go to liferotp.com/restoration and you can sign up for these classes. Or if you'd like, you can come into Real Life Church and someone there can get you signed up, whether that's on Sunday, in between services, or on Thursday night at CR, or just during the week, there would be someone there that would help you out.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Good deal. Thanks, Denise. Lots of exciting stuff going on there. And as far as the Recovery Center goes, I just encourage you to go to the website at latarecoverycenter.org, and you can look at the calendar there for things that are coming up. I'm not sure if they'll have the January calendar up there yet, but you'll be able to see what's left of this year. And right. then in about a week or so, they probably update to January. There is still the Art with Shanda class to remind everybody about 5 o'clock on Tuesdays for an hour. And basically she's teaching you different artistic techniques or methods. And you can learn a lot, and it's free. All the materials are supplied for free, and only available to a maximum of 8 people right now. That's basically what we have supplies for. But if we get a bigger following, we can bump that up. And we had a really good response a couple of weeks ago. Wild About Art actually donated a bunch of clay things, you know, cups and,
and
little weird shaped stuff. And the folks down here, you got to paint them, and then they were sending them back up there to get fired for the glaze and everything. So that was very cool.
That's awesome.
And there's a bunch of other stuff she's teaching too, which is really fun. The bookbinding is, I took that when she was first started doing the workshops here, and that was fascinating. I got to remember how to do it. So that's about it for them. And happy Christmas Eve.
Yes, happy Christmas Eve. How exciting.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, Santa's cookies and milk all set down by my chimney.
Awesome.
And, you know, hopefully I'm going to get that new bicycle I was hoping for, and maybe a teddy bear.
And you know, when you say that, I'm thinking, well, first of all, okay, what are your favorite cookies or like Christmas time, you know, snacks and things? And then also, it's cool that you bring up a bicycle, because I want a recumbent bike for my Christmas present.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. I was thinking that would be really great to have like in my living room in front of my TV for after dinner, just do that there, right?
Oh, I hook a generator up to it, and then if just the kids like want to watch TV,
I'll just power the house.
Pedal to play.
I'll be like, ah. So Johnny, what is your favorite cookies or Christmas, you know, festive food? What do you like?
Well, you know, I am a kind of a hopeless traditionalist. I like a nice sugar cookie. If it's cut into a fun shape, like a reindeer or something, you know, with lots of icing, because I'm a sugar freak.
Oh.
And that may have something to do with, you know, my alcoholism, because sugar is a great substitute. Actually, when your body breaks sugar down, some of it turns into ethanol. So maybe I get a little buzz off
it.
It's
starting to make sense
it.
For both of us, really.
Yeah. But I like that in gingerbread. I'm a sucker for a good gingerbread cookie. The soft ones, though, not the hard, crunchy ones. A soft gingerbread cookie is just to die for.
So the girls and I are making cookies, and we're decorating them with like frosting and different kinds of things. Should we drop some by your place sometime?
Oh, wow. Hey,
yeah.
Is that okay? Actually, you know what? My wife got together with a bunch of her friends, and they had a cookie party. A week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago now. And, you know, so everybody makes, like, I think there were seven of them that were there. And you make six dozen cookies for everyone, you know. And so everyone gets everybody else's cookies.
Oh,
and
cool.
You end up with seven dozen cookies to take home with you of all different varieties. And there were the Mexican wedding cakes, fabulous. There was molasses cookies. There were sugar cookies. There were, someone made these little, I call them mock turtles. There's a turtle candy, which is like crunchy with chocolate on it, and it's got like a crunchy layer and then caramel and then chocolate over the top of it, and it looks like a little turtle the way they make them. Well, somebody made them, and I've seen this done before. We may even have done it ourselves, where you take just a small one of the tiny pretzels, twist pretzels, and you put a Rolo candy on it, and you melt it down in the oven, then you slap a pecan half on top of it, and it's just it's wonderful.
Ooh, I do know what you're talking about. That does sound really good.
Decadent, sweet, and easy. So I am all cookied up, and I'm always good for some more cookies.
Okay, you know? All right, we'll keep you in mind.
Especially my favorites. And what's your, what would you call it, your little minor sinful pleasure?
So at Christmas time, I haven't come across too many yet, but I'm going to make a point of it, it's like covered marshmallows. It's like Santa covered marshmallows. You know what I mean? There's the marshmallow inside. They shape it like a Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I love those. So now I'm going to have to leave here and go get some of those. See what you did?
Right, exactly.
Ordering, you know, when I quit smoking like cigarettes about a year and a half ago, and that's when my love for food really burst.
Yeah.
So, because my taste buds are working correctly now.
Yeah.
And food tastes really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it can. It can, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's like, I heard there's like a shortage. There's going to be a shortage this year of the little marshmallow, the Peeps, Christmas Peeps. Mm-hmm. And that makes me kind of sad.
Makes you kind of sad, huh?
There's plenty of
those are loaded with sugar. I don't
They're pure sugar.
Dude.
That's all it is.
What do you think? I don't even know. It's like sugar and then whatever it is that just binds it together. That's all there is. And, and then the little bit of coloring.
Yeah, for me, it used to be caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol. And now it's caffeine, nicotine, and sugar. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's my guilty pleasures. But I'll probably survive that till I get diabetes or something.
Yeah, I was just going to say it. Now, right now, I feel like it's just the perfect time to just like interject a commercial for my gym.
Right, exactly.
So, January is coming up, and feel free to come and join at Anytime Fitness. Work off that holiday extra pounds.
That's right. That's right. You can do that.
You can.
Well, today, on a slightly more serious note, we were going to talk a little bit about relationships during the holiday, specifically in sobriety. But I suppose it could apply to, you know, any sort of situation you might be in. If you're, you know, have a stressful time with your family for whatever reason. I mean, some of the, you know, little tricks and techniques that we learn can be helpful, as well as just, you know, gaining some understanding of, you know, why people might be the way they are. And even more importantly, why they get to be that way, you know? For me, I was really fortunate because despite the fact that I, you know, worried my family to death with my drinking, you know, that they were going to get that phone call that I had, you know, driven my car into a tree and died in the fiery crash, I didn't really do some of the things that could have been done that I know other people have done that really destroy relationships, you know, stealing money from family, you know, taking advantage of them in other ways, you know, being the one that always ruins the family gathering by, you know, showing up too drunk or, you know, too stupid or whatever. So for me, you know, the first holidays sober were really good. They were like, you know, the celebrations were different, but everybody understood, you know, where I was. And because I, you know, got into sobriety in late in the summer of 94, or not late in the summer, or late in the spring, I had built up some time and a track record. You know, even though I think I relapsed a couple of times during that, but for very short periods of time, and got right back into the program. And each time was, you know, it was a learning opportunity. At least that's the way I looked at it and dealt with it. So, you know, I was able to do things I hadn't done in years past, like meet commitments, be there for people. If I promised my sister I'd do some work on her shop, her beauty shop, you know, I would show up when I said I was, and I would do what I said I was going to do, and that sort of thing. So I had 6-8 months to build up that confidence. And, you know, there had been birthdays and other events that had happened during that time where I was, you know, able to go to their home and not be an idiot, you know, not be a jerk, not be drunk. And so rolling into the holidays, it was easier. And, you know, alcoholism and drinking issues was, you know, I was not the first in my family. I mean, there was alcohol and my family were good friends, you know, or the worst of enemies, you know, in my parents' case, because they were true alcoholics. My mother, God bless her, she got into recovery and was sober the last 10 years of her life before cancer got her. It wasn't uncommon for people to be drunk on the holidays, but they dealt with it differently. My dad was a fun drunk. My mom typically wouldn't drink a lot on the holidays, not as much as she normally would, I think just so that she could, you know, keep an even keel and, you know, participate in stuff. It was very odd. Having said that, I know that that is not the case for a lot of people. I've known people who have really, really damaged relationships with family, or have had their relationship with family damaged. Because let's face it, alcoholism does not just affect the alcoholic. It affects everyone's around them and is close to them. I can thoroughly understand why, in some families, in some relationships, you may just not care if you ever see that person again, let alone on the holidays when you're trying to enjoy yourself and celebrate the birth of Christ, or a Thanksgiving meal, or a New Year's celebration where we're hoping to get into a much different, much better year this coming year. That bridge may have been burnt for you, not because of you. And so how do you work around or face into those sort of, scenarios? And, honestly, the best way is just by example. If you have a little bit of sobriety under your belt, hopefully you've been, working with a program, mm-hmm. and you've learned that to have a friend, you have to be a friend, mm-hmm. that a lot of what you think about how the world is was wrong, and you're working on that stuff internally, and externally, people will notice that. But what if you don't get invited to the family thing, even though maybe you've been working on it? Maybe my sobriety was not perfect. I don't know anyone's who was. And there were certain friends where I had certainly disappointed them and done what I thought was irreparable harm. And, the first couple of years of sobriety, before I got around to, learning how to properly make amends to those people, they weren't interested in contacting me, and I respected that because I know I was the one who had destroyed the relationship. But you can work on getting yourself to a place where other people are capable of accepting you. It's like we were talking in the break, and it's like, oh, I'm all better now. Look at me, and I'm doing so well. Why don't you want to have me around? I'm now a genuinely fun guy. And because you're really setting yourself up for a failure on that part, because that's what's going on in your head. That's not what other people are thinking. You may have had experiences like this as well.
Well, in listening to you talk about these different kinds of things, it really reminds me of all of the 12 steps and all the different things that you work on,
Right.
Coming out of denial, accepting your higher power, and all these different kinds of things. And then also just really looking at the reality of how you were, what the conditions of your addiction or alcoholism, how that affected other people, and talking with somebody about that. I think that's really helpful, and that's what's helped me become more aware of my part in things. And so I was trying to think of where to start, but my first Christmas in recovery, I believe that myself and my husband and our little ones, they were a lot younger back then, went to fellow NA, to some people that worked in the program a lot with sponsoring people and running the meetings and things like that. We went to their home and fellowshipped with them as one of our things that we did for Christmas. And it may have been like Christmas Eve or something like that.
Right.
Because we probably did family stuff on Christmas. So I wasn't really around necessarily family, although I have four children, two of them are adults, two of them are younger. But as the years went on with different kinds of holidays and birthday parties and things like that, I think that as I was changing and really starting to look at myself and kind of going about things differently with the things that I said and how I acted, I was invited back in to relationship and doing things with my kids and with, mm-hmm. With my family and with my friends. Because it took some time.
Sure.
It did. And then there were some things where so we probably went up to, maybe we didn't the first year, but so we go to my in-laws every year, and that's going to continue.
Right.
That kind of thing is going to continue and stuff like that. anyways, kind of going back to like more useful kinds of things, I think that, you know, holidays are a pretty good opportunity to think of other people and to think on the ways that you can improve how you're interacting with them. Right. And then also, you know, like we've talked about before, it is possible opportunities. I mean, I know that there has been times where with my family, I would kind of plan, okay, so I'm going to try to like talk about this or apologize about this. And it may or may not always work out to happen when I think it's going to happen. But right. if I kind of like think about it, okay, so this was my part in here, and I really look at stuff in this person's life, these are the things where I just totally train wrecked all over the place. And this is why, you know, because I was angry, or I, you know, I didn't listen well enough, or I was being too controlling. And if I take some time to sit and think on that, then when the opportunity arises to be able to have a conversation with them, because it depends sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I would start to talk about something and they were very resistant. They weren't ready
right.
for the topic at all. It was too fresh. It hurt too much.
Right.
And I feel like that's when I think back to, it says, you know, make amends unless to do so would
injure them or others.
Right.
right.
So timing, you know, Sherry, my mentor, talks a lot about timing, like thinking and praying on timing when you're going to have these kind of conversations with people. That it's not about always when you're ready or when
right.
you're excited to do it. I started to realize that there were times that I would do that when I was ready or when I wanted to do it and when I was excited.
Right.
But there's also the ability to sit and wait until the door opens and they're ready.
Right.
They bring
exactly.
something up, you know? It seems
yeah, sometimes it's necessary just to like pick a time and go for it.
It is
but
sometimes, yeah. It is.
For people, you know, and that would be like maybe the former employer that you stole from,
yeah.
Or, you know, a co-worker or something that maybe, you know, flaked on a project or something. And sometimes there's, time is of the essence and you
Correct.
Just need to get it out there
yes.
And you know, make the amends to the best of your ability. But when you're around people all the time, typically you're going to have the roughest, rawest history with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And that typically for most people is family
yeah.
or close friends.
Just real quick, if you don't already know, your hardest relationships and the ones that can be most damaged can be your closest relationships.
Oh, yeah. Always
for
are.
Sure. Like, wow.
Always
okay.
are.
Please continue.
Yeah, why my wife didn't burn down our marriage. Many times the opportunity
mm-hmm.
presented itself.
Sure.
My amends to her goes on to this day. And it's not always perfect. And that hurt is still there because it comes out of her mouth from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of pisses me off, but you know what? I've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
I've earned that sort of, you know, comeback. But it's less and less the more and more I, you know, show that I'm still working my program and trying to get better. But yeah, when those relationships are damaged, you're talking about timing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really true. 'Cause you never know when somebody is necessarily healed up. But I have found that when there's one of those pressure points that you're dealing with, there will come a moment when there's an awkward silence and people don't necessarily know how to continue in the conversation because somehow they have stumbled onto that hurt that you've created. And that's the time where you have to have your courage ready and your amends prepared.
So you're talking about when someone shares, you know,
yeah.
that how in what ways you hurt them.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah, that can happen.
You know, remember when, and it can happen at the oddest times, it's happened for me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you said you were going to come over and help us do this and you didn't show? And or it can be, I used to not think I could count on you. And that's an invitation for you to say, yeah, I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what I'm doing about that. And let me ask you, I know specifically I did this thing at this time. And I know it disappointed you, and I just want to know what I can do to make that right now.
Mm-hmm.
How can I amend this story
right.
so that it's better for you? again, I what you said is brilliant and right on the point, and that's having that immense prepared. In the book, it says, step A made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then step 9 is made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. That willingness carries a lot of baggage. I mean, willingness requires a ton of courage. And like you said, you never know when that opportunity is going to present itself. And also, that doesn't, you know, give you license for oral diarrhea.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking,
because I did this and I'm so sorry for that. And then there was this.
Because then that's making it about yourself, honestly. I mean.
Right. You're trying to clear your conscience.
Right. And that's, it's not about us.
Your conscience has to be cleared prior to making the amends.
Yeah. I think a good amends has to do with the fact that. Well, for me, I will have already apologized to my higher power, to God. I will have already, said, hey, Lord, I see in this area, these are the things that I've done to this person, and I'll go extensively into it, praying on it, and I will ask for forgiveness from God, and then I will ask for, courage to be able to have that with that person.
Right.
But it's not about like, oh, I'm really sorry that I was late or crashed your car, but it was because you didn't have enough air in your tires, or you didn't have enough fuel in the car, or you didn't, you know what I mean? It's not.
You shouldn't have loaned it to me when you knew I was that high.
So I just want to say that, like, that's how I used to apologize.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. I would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then blame that person, and then talk some more, and then blame that person. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, dude, was there like not a day in my life that no one taught me how to like make an apology? I was absent that day.
Yeah, right.
Whatever was going on. So now it's taking full ownership. And sometimes, this is another thing that can be helpful. Sometimes it can be really helpful to practice your amends with your sponsor or accountability people.
Right.
Give it a go and honestly ask them. I'll honestly be like, what do you think? Like, what do we need to work on here? Because sometimes Sherry will be like, so this little area right here.
Yeah, the part after butt.
Yeah. And this, like, and where are you going with that one or something? That could be helpful, too.
Yeah.
Practice it on somebody.
A man in the program who I really respect pointed out to me one time when I was just in a share in a meeting. I was saying, blah, blah, blah. I was recounting my responsibility for something. And then I said, but, if da, 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 da. And he came up to me after the meeting and he goes, Johnny, everything after but is BS. He put it much more colorfully.
Yeah, sure.
But not for the radio. So, that's actually a little thing I keep in my pocket. If I'm being accountable or making an amends to somebody, if the word but even comes up, anything I was thinking after that, I gotta cut out.
You gotta kick it back out.
I just need to own my part of it. And again, in getting along with other people, and say it's not to say that people don't do hurtful things to people who are suffering with addiction or other mental health issues.
Sure.
There were people who said very hurtful things to me, and I just accepted it as reality. It gave me another excuse to drink. Why do you always show up drunk? I don't want to have anything to do with you again. That hurt me. I mean, it was true, and it was their true feeling, but it hurt, and that gave me another reason to drink at something. Because I would do that. I would wake up with remorse and guilt and drink at it to make it go away.
And today, if someone said something to you like, you did this, and so I don't want you here, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
then what would that look like for you?
Well, for me, if somebody...
Today's sober.
Yeah. If somebody had an issue with something I did, mm-hmm. How I did something, the first thing I would do is listen to them mm-hmm. and hear them out. And, kind of digest that a little bit. What I would say was, well, thank you for sharing that with me. You know, had I been aware that what I did would have this effect on you, I surely would have done something differently. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely understand. And if that's the way you feel about it, I'm fine with that. But if you change your mind and want to pursue whatever relationship we're in at that point, whether it's working or helping somebody move or whatever, let me know. I'll leave the ball in your court. And then, you know, and then reflect on it after that and see if it was, you know, if it was something that I did and my intentions were genuine and I can really believe that I did what I did because I thought it was the best way to do or the best thing to do, and they weren't happy with it. Well, then I don't really owe an amends there, because that's their issue. Right. I mean, I deal with people now. Occasionally, you will come off with somebody who drinks who thinks I'm a jerk because I don't drink. I mean, that's happened to me. What the hell's wrong with you? Why can't you have a drink? You've been in that program a long time. You should be able to have a couple of beers now. Mm-hmm. And then they go off because I say, no, it's
not,
it's
like
kinda,
that.
It's kind of a lifelong thing for me, you know, and I'm committed to it, but thank you anyway. Well, now maybe they have an amends they have to work on. I don't have to apologize for my sobriety.
Right. And this is why I really enjoy having, you know, the mentor, sponsor, and accountability people, the people that I trust that know me and also like are aware of how we're working on things. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Those people around us, sounding boards for moments when I'm just not sure.
Well,
about what's
another
going on.
Very important thing about those people is, because we talked about what if your bond with the people you typically or would like to have Christmas with, mm-hmm. you know, family, for instance, those people close to you that you have really harmed the relationship. Mm-hmm. What if they're not ready for you?
Right.
Those same people, mm-hmm. those people in the fellowship at CR mm-hmm. or at AA or at NA or at CODA, those are the people you can reach out to. Mm-hmm. And if you need to cling on to something to help you through the holiday mm-hmm. and so that you don't feel awful, those are the people you reach out to. Mm-hmm. My phone is on 24/7, and just recently I've gotten several, probably four or five, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, long after my bedtime, because mm-hmm. I'm old.
Long after my bedtime, too.
2 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the morning. Hey, you know, I'm having these crazy thoughts. Okay. Give me a minute to wake up. Maybe start slow, build up to the crisis so that I can wake up and help you deal with this without, you know, drinking or using.
Right.
But I live for that. That's my job now. You know, plus I'm fortunate I'm retired. I have just about infinite time to devote to doing these things.
Right, you can go back to sleep and it'll be okay.
Yeah, I can sleep a little late in the morning. I don't have to be anywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, not always, but, you know, regardless, I mean, that's what I do to maintain my sobriety. Old AANA recovery, credo is you got to give it away to keep it. You know, it's amazing how people will come to me with issues that I've never experienced, or at least I think I've never experienced, but it's opened a door, and I have discovered that, oh yeah, I actually did do that. Not with the same people or exactly the same way, but the transgression was the same, mm-hmm. and I never recognized it. Mm-hmm. And I get to add that to my next fourth step I'm going to do. Which I do quarterly or with everybody I sponsor. So I just work through the steps right along with them because, you know, even though the 10th step says, we review our day.
Yes.
at the end of the day. And, you know, if amends need to be made, you know, we prepare for that and attend to it right away.
That can be really helpful in a lot of, in a lot, for a lot of different reasons.
Oh yeah.
Reflecting on like your day, how you did, things you would like to do differently. Do you need to talk to anybody about some things? Yeah, that you did.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, reach out to those people in the program. They love you. They want you to be happy, and their sobriety depends on it. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to reach out. It's a good thing.
It is.
So it's about getting about to that time to wrap it up. What else have you got?
So I was thinking about last week about how we shared about, you know, having an exit plan to events that you go to that could go south, and you could start having a problem with wanting to drink or use or anything that you are changing. Like if you are there and you don't want to be eating all the chocolate cake, whatever it looks like. I don't want to say that anything doesn't count because it does. Whatever changes in your life that you've made in your recovery, if you're struggling at the place that you're at, we talked last week about thinking ahead and trying to make an exit plan or what could help you, whether it's to call someone or to just leave for a little while.
Or that person that you have still are harboring a resentment towards. Mm-hmm. And or that person that is harboring a resentment towards you, words can get ugly, you know, quickly.
Yes.
And sometimes, oh, Bobby's here? Well, you know, thanks for inviting me, but I really think I need to go because there's some unresolved stuff there.
Right. And there can be things that just you're just not able to, or it's not the right time to deal with. Hopefully, you know, there will be some things that you are able to deal with and it is the right timing, you know? But
and,
yeah.
And if you prepare for it and pray about it ahead of time, one event I went to, it was a big wine tasting fundraiser thing like I talked about last week. And I had done all the obligatory stuff and I was just kind of hanging out. I was really getting the willies. I was really just getting uncomfortable. It's not like I wanted to drink. I just was uncomfortable being there. Mm-hmm. And I went and told my wife, I think I'm going to go sit in the car. And as I turned around and was going to leave, this little, I don't know, four-year-old girl, you know, they're all dressed up. There's a
super
bunch of
cute
kids playing out there. Mm-hmm. Comes over and says, will you come over and play, I don't know, some game they were playing, Red Rovers, and can you come over and play, do you know how to play this game? Because we can't remember. And I'm like, okay. And I went over there, and an hour and a half flew by, the thing shut down.
That's so cool.
I
kids are great.
Spent the time. And when I went home that night, you know, it didn't really dawn on me what had happened, but I think it's pretty clear to me after the fact that that was a divine intervention. No, you can still be useful if you're willing. If you're willing to, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your heart open. And yeah, and I was the only adult, you know, playing with the kids. Mm-hmm. But
that's cool.
As things started breaking up, oh, bye, Bobby, bye, Susie, bye, you know. And the parents are, who's he? And she says, oh, you just, you know. And I'm like, oh, did I just get, you know, creepy factor going here? No. And there were a couple of parents that, oh, yeah, they said they had a really good time, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew most of them, or was acquaintances at any rate. So it's like, oh, well, you're going to be the babysitter next time. Yeah, I'm like, don't count on it.
Like, this is a spur-of-the-moment thing, yeah.
Timing is everything.
Absolutely.
I'm not a professional.
Well, let's see. So, I mean, just want to wish everyone Merry Christmas and, yeah, a happy upcoming new year.
That's right. That's
safe
right.
Travels.
Hopefully, we may have...
Or not travels.
Yeah. We may have new content for you next week. Mm-hmm. We may not. Just kind of depends. People are kind of a moving target. It's hard to get interviews done or get together during this time. So we'll see what we see. But for now, we'll I will echo Denise and say I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a great new year. And God, I hope 2021 works out better than 2020 for everybody. It's been a raw year. Like my wife says, it's getting on my last nerve.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3, the coolest station in the nation. And remember, if you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, you do.